Morning Edition is reporting this week from Houston, Texas, a swiftly growing city that's added a million residents in this decade. No doubt some of those newcomers have taken Interstate 10, which roars in front of this spot, which means they've seen this giant sculpture beside me. It's Houston's own version of Mount Rushmore. You see giant white busts of George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and two founders of modern Texas, Sam Houston and Stephen F. Austin. Because it overlooks the freeway, it is known as Mount Rush Hour. This spot reminds you of a couple of things about Houston. One is that it's a little bit quirkier than you might realize. The other is that Houston is huge. These highways radiate out to a giant seaport, to oil company skyscrapers, and of course to miles and miles and miles of suburban neighborhoods. We took a ride outside the central city with Steven Kleinberg of Rice University, who has studied Houston for decades.
What is striking about Houston is almost wherever you are, you think you're at the edge of town. Right? I mean, this must be the end here, right? This is now suddenly, and then there it starts up again. You get this leapfrogging of developments and big empty spaces.
Kleinberg drove us through this spread out city, forever under construction. Our first stop on the urban frontier. That's our occasional look at how cities change and grow.
The city of Houston covers 620 square miles. You could put inside the city limits of Houston, simultaneously, I kid you not, the cities of Philadelphia, Baltimore, Chicago, and Detroit.
Now I see a highway overpass that looks like we're going to cross under.
That's the Loop 610. That is the inner loop that defines for us what the, quote, inner city of Houston is, which is a gigantic space.
When I look at a map, it looks like Houston has a beltway, and beyond that is a second beltway, and you're working on a third beltway.
Right. There are many of us who feel that's not a good idea, but it's hard to resist.
Roadside stores and malls seem to go on for as far as Kleinberg can drive. One consequence shows up in a study of American cities. It was co-authored by Edward Glaser of Harvard University. The study shows that Houstonians use far more energy than people in other cities like New York or Los Angeles. Glaser has to admit this, even though there's a lot about Houston he likes.
Would you just describe what Houston is in your mind and how it compares to any other generic city you might pick? How is it? What distinguishes Houston as a metropolitan area?
Well, it's in some sense, you know, the great growing region of the Sun Belt on steroids, right? I mean, it's a place which has remarkably few limitations on what and where to build. It's a place that is whose economy started off being very strongly wrapped around natural resources and energy, but at this point in time is much more diversified. It's a place that succeeds in attracting a million new people since the last census by providing middle-income Americans with a really astonishingly high quality of life. That quality of life is, of course, defined around the automobile. It's a place that is, you know, has a remarkably high level of population decentralization. People are not living in any sort of an urban core, but it still is, you know, managing to give people an average commute of 27.4 minutes. You know, you've just got enough highways that people are driving fairly quickly from one place to another.
What other advantages do you see?
Well, certainly the low housing prices are huge. The census puts the average housing price in Houston at $120,000 right now. The National Association of Realtors pegs it a little bit higher because they're more oriented towards recent home sales, but that's at $150,000. For many places, both in the Northeast and in the West, that experienced this vast roller coaster ride, Houston and Dallas sat this thing out. Houston and Dallas have a perfectly well-functioning housing market where housing prices are basically pegged by the price of supplying a new home. And, you know, in a place which has no rules on new construction that would make things really difficult for developers, that ends up being a low number.
Okay, so you got a good drive to work, you got a nice house, you didn't pay very much for the house, you got a low mortgage payment, what else?
That's right, no state income taxes. And not all the schools in the Houston area are terrific, but some of them are, certainly. And on top of that, you have all the things that car-based living makes relatively easier. You have an abundance of big box stores. You have, you know, lots of relatively inexpensive and fun restaurants. There are lots of attractive things about Houston. Those million people who went there are not obviously making a mistake. I mean, it shows the dynamism that can often come from a relatively unregulated market, both in the housing sector and in lots of areas of the economy.
And yet this is a city that I think that some people who think about the environment, think about urban development, think about suburban sprawl would find Is dismaying too strong a word?
I think horrendous wouldn't be too strong a word, certainly. Certainly, I got a tremendous amount of heat every time I've said anything positive about Houston. And in some sense, they're right to be worried about the environmental impact of Houston. Houston is among the five worst American metropolitan areas in terms of its carbon emissions. All those car miles, and even more, the tremendous use of electricity in order to create an artificial environment in a very hot and humid place, all of that requires a very large carbon footprint.
You have worked through what makes Houston attractive to the average guy and said it competes better against, say, New York. What makes New York not so attractive by comparison?
Well, the most difficult thing about New York or Boston or coastal California is just the housing prices. In Manhattan, that's always going to be tough. I mean, the costs of building up are going to be high.
It's an island. You're not going to get any more
real estate. It's an island. There's limited land. And that's not true, certainly not true in the Boston suburbs, which, you know, the county in which I live, Middlesex County, is less dense than Harris County, Texas, that includes Houston, right? I mean, there's more land.
And yet the home prices must be two or three times.
Much higher. And that's, you know, I believe the evidence suggests that that's overwhelmingly the result of government regulations that actually make it difficult to build. It's a funny chronicle where often, you know, well-meaning people in the coastal states of this country, often thinking that they're doing environmental good, have actually, you know, enacted a set of rules that have made it enormously difficult for middle-income people to live in their areas and as a result have pushed people towards less environmentally attractive places like Texas.
Edward Glaser of Harvard co-authored a study that helps us to understand Houston, the city we're visiting this week. Tomorrow we'll meet Bill White, the mayor who says he wants to make Houston greener.
And if we did that, then this whole debate about whether we should, you know, have more from coal or more from nuclear or rising utility bills would all be moot.
And you can join the discussion at npr.org.